For those of you who walked in when I wasn't looking, if you would please open your Bibles to 2 Peter. We'll continue our study there. This is lesson number 4 in 2 Peter. If you weren't here with us last week, we studied last time four kinds of faith, the four kinds of faith that are given by God to man. And this morning, Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, we'll read it one more time. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. I want you to notice like precious faith there. We're going to build off of those words there. That word precious means of great value or of great worth. And I hope this morning, if you're on your way to heaven instead of on your way to hell, and if you are in Christ instead of in sin, and if you're living in the light instead of in the darkness, I hope you realize the great value of the faith that God has given to you, and the great value that is yours in every aspect of your life because of having put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's not one aspect of your life that isn't better because you've trusted Jesus than it would be had you not trusted Jesus. In time and in eternity, you will have to admit your family life is better. Your friendships are better. Your health is better. Your mental and emotional state is better. You are better off in this world and in the world to come for having put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called precious faith. Not only because of great value or worth, but items that are precious because they are rare. Gold is more precious than dirt because there's less gold and there's a lot more dirt. Diamonds are more precious than paper because there are fewer diamonds and a great amount of paper. And you know something? Our faith in Jesus Christ is precious because it is a rare thing. It's becoming increasingly rare in our time. But around this world, it's always been rare. Why, if the Lord were to come today, well, depends on who you talk to, or listen to, rather. I mean, if you hear certain preachers or read their books about the rapture, these preachers will all talk about how the whole world would turn upside down, how everything would be shaken to its foundations if we all just disappeared, and commerce and travel and all would just come to a grinding halt. Well, let me ask you something. If the rapture were to take place today, what effect would the rapture have on Italy, Spain, and Portugal? How big of an impact would you see in those places? Virtually none. What effect would the rapture have if it took place today on North Ireland, or Germany, or the Netherlands? Virtually none. If the rapture took place today, who in Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and yes, even Kuwait, who would even notice that something had happened? If the rapture took place today, all but a few would remain in China. They wouldn't even notice, know anything happened. All but a handful would remain in Japan, Thailand, Burma, and a lot of other places. Indonesia would be relatively unaffected. The whole state of Utah in the United States, they wouldn't skip a beat. And then you think of the so-called, what we call in the United States, the Bible Belt. That's the line of states all connected together where they say there's a lot of churches in those states. But how many of their friends and neighbors do you think are trusting Jesus and not their good works? How many of their kinfolk do you think are trusting the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else for their salvation, the salvation of their soul? What about yours? Is your entire family tree going to go up in the rapture? Are all your friends and neighbors trusting Jesus' blood for their salvation? I'm telling you, the church is it's a great body. The way from our point of view, the church is a great body. We view it as this great big thing. those of us who are in it, that is. But as you go out into this world and you try to talk to people about Jesus, you realize it's not all that large. It's certainly not all that influential. It's certainly not all that great numerically. And I know when these countries do their census and they say who's a Christian, who's a Muslim, who's a Buddhist, and all that stuff, and they gather all the numbers together, in the census figures, a goodly number of people do consider themselves to be Christians. But if you talk to those who say they're Christians, they don't even know who Jesus Christ is, much less what salvation is. And so, yes, our faith is precious because of the value that it has to us. Our faith is precious because of how few people really have part in it or really know anything about it or even understand it. And I'm satisfied that if the rapture took place this afternoon, and I hope it does, it wouldn't take but a week or two to clean up what little mess was left behind. And so we need to be doing all we can to tell the world about Jesus. All right, now there are eight things in our Bible, including our faith, that are called precious. And we'll take them in an order this morning and see if God will bless our hearts as we study precious things in the Word of God, things of great value and worth, things that are rare. Let's go first of all to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. First Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." There was no open vision. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Do you understand that you hold in your lap today something of greater value than anything to have ever come off of any printing press? Do you realize today that you have in your lap a document more valuable than anything that has ever been penned by the human hand? Anything ever written with ink upon paper? Do you realize today that you have in your lap the very words of Almighty God? How valuable is a book that can tell you the way to heaven? Of what worth is a book that can tell you how to live your life in the meantime before you get to heaven? What a treasure it is to have before you something that will stand when the heavens and the earth have passed away. Jesus said, "The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now you think of all the words that have been entered into the congressional records in all the different countries since the 1700s. You think of all the legislation and bills that have been passed. You think of how many times somebody has voted for something that was going to fix all of our social problems and fix all of our economic problems and fix all of our crime problems and fix all of our military problems. And you think of all of the peace treaties that have been signed and all of the accords that have been made and all of the agreements that have been put on paper. Think of all of the trees that have died to print warranties and sales figures and advertising. Think of all the newspapers that have gone from the forest to the landfill and made no difference in anybody's life. I'm telling you, the libraries are filled with books that nobody has ever read and nobody ever will read. I'm telling you that the bookstores are filled with books that are going to go straight from the shelves right into the dumpster. That's true. Amen. And yet this Bible is still the best-selling book of all time. It's still the most widely read book of all time. It's still the only book in the world that people memorize. For some of them from cover to cover, start to finish. Boys, girls, men, and women. People don't go out and say, you must believe in Shakespeare. People don't go out and say, you must believe in Garfield or Doonesbury. People don't go out and say, you must believe in the New York Times. Or in where I'm from, you must believe in the Denver Post. But people have given their lives. Hundreds and thousands of people have given their lives to make sure that somebody else knew what was written in this book. It's nothing like it. There's nothing else like it on the face of this earth. The psalmist speaks to God and says, Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Well, that's something. It's of great value. It's of great worth. It's a rare and precious document. It's the Holy Bible, the Word of God. And he says there's no open vision. I mean, listen, the Lord's got he's not going to appear to you in your bedroom and show you a sign. The Lord is not going to write something in the sky and arrange the stars and spell something out for you. The Lord is not going to speak to your imagination and speak to your heart. He gave you a book. He gave you His Word. He doesn't use inner voices and a little nudge here and a little whisper there. That's you deceiving yourself and your spiritual pride. God's Word, that's what's precious, not your thought life. God's Word is precious, not your impressions and your feelings. It's the Word of God that is of great worth, and the Word of God that is of great value, and we ought to treat it as such. We ought to live accordingly and value God's precious and holy Word. Let's go back to the New Testament now. First Peter. First Peter chapter number 2. The Word of God tells us and reveals to us the truth about someone who is very, very precious. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Look at verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now this precious stone, we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says that the Lord is the stone. Verse 4 says the stone is precious. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is precious. That is, He's of great value. He's the only one who can save your soul. He's the only one who can give you life. He's the only one who can forgive your sins. He's the only one who can give you joy for sorrow and give you hope for despair and give you truth for error. And He's the only one who can take you from earth to heaven and give and from the grave to glory. It's Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's of great value. He's of great worth. He's the only one who can guide and direct our steps in the way of righteousness. He's the only one who can teach a man to be a good man, and a woman to be a good woman, and a husband to be a good husband, a wife to be a good wife, a parent to be a good parent. I tell you, the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of an individual, there's no way to tell it, no way to measure it. There's no way to calculate it. What a great thing it is to have and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, He's precious. He's precious. Why? I mean, if you put Buddha over here, and you put Muhammad over here, you put Confucius over there, and Jim Jones over there, and Joe Smith over there, and you know, and 300 popes over here, and a million Baptist preachers over here on this side, and you put Jesus on the other side, Jesus Christ will be worth more than all of them put together. If you put every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that ever lived, you put all their good deeds on a scale together, and you put the Lord Jesus Christ on the other side, He'd be worth more than everyone that ever lived. He's of great value. He's of great worth. He's precious. He's rare. All these men have teachings. He's the Savior. All these men have philosophies. He's the Savior. All these men have some sort of example. He's the Savior. There's nobody, nobody as valuable, nobody as rare, nobody is worth what Jesus Christ the Lord is worth to them that know Him and to them that don't. Man, if you're here today and you're not saved, what you need is Jesus. You don't need that new car. That isn't going to fix your life. You don't need a new this or a new that. That's not going to change anything. You need a Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Word of God, the precious Word of God, tells you of a precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How does He save? 1 Peter 1:18. Verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I'll tell you what bought your soul. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what paid your sin debt. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what satisfied the demands of a holy God. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, I have wished that I was what this world calls a millionaire. Many times I wished that I had billions, as I understand some people in the world do have billions. And I'll tell you why. It's not because I want to eat better. I eat okay. I don't want to live in a better house. I don't want to drive a better vehicle. I don't want to buy nicer clothes. But wouldn't it be neat to have enough money, for example, to buy a major newspaper and be able to print whatever you want? What would you do? Page one, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. You say, well, people wouldn't buy that. You'd go out of business. Well, that's all right. At least the headlines would be out there in plain view for a while. And then you turn on the radio and these guys, they come on, they say stuff like, you know, in these tough financial times, you need gold. There's something called gold. It's never lost its value. Buy gold. You can have an ounce of gold for more money than you've ever seen, and we'll ship it to you for free. Man, I'd like to come on that radio and say, in these times when people are dying, and in these times when people are killing themselves, and in these times when people are losing their jobs, and in these times when people are strung out on dope, there's something more valuable and more precious than gold. It's never lost its value. It's never gone down. It's never been concerned about the value of the dollar or the euro or the stock market or the Wall Street numbers. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Call today, free. Precious blood of Jesus. Free eternal life. Man, I wish I had the money to flood the markets with advertising. They say when Barack Obama was running for president, he bought up a lot of primetime slots on all the major TV networks. And they said that cost him $4 million. Man, I thought it would be something like a lot more than that. I thought maybe $400 million to buy those TV slots. But $4 million, man, that's nothing. Man, if I could get 30 minutes on all the major stations for $4 million, I wouldn't be talking about politics. I'd be telling people about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, come on, I don't want to be rich so I can have a floating bandstand with a string quartet playing in my backyard. But if I had $4 million and I could go on TV at 9 o'clock at night and tell them about Jesus, you say, well, all they'd do is just turn you off. They'd change the channel. Not if I was on every channel. You say, well, then they'd just turn off the TV. You don't know people. They have a hard time turning off that TV. If they turned it off, they might find out they have kids. Kids! What are those things doing in the house? But wouldn't that be a blessing, man, to tell the world about the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Big holiday sale, 100% off, salvation, limited time offer. It'd be great. It would be great. Boy, if I had Oprah's money, I'd buy every channel that she was on and wouldn't let her be on any of them. If I had Bill Gates' money, it'd be amazing. I mean, I tell you what, this world, they're spending their money and pursuing things that are of no worth whatsoever. And that blood of Jesus Christ, it's worth so much. It's just incredible. It's just incredible. There's nothing else in this world that can buy your soul. Nothing else in this world that can give you eternal life but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That can do the job. That's the only thing that can do the job. All right, look at Psalm 49. The book of Psalms and Psalm number 49. Psalm 49. Things go up in value when they're rare. Isn't that right? Well, there's only one place in this universe to find sinless blood. Do you know how rare that is? Think about it. Here's an example. If you in America, you can go in most any grocery store and you can buy 24 cans of Mountain Dew for less than $5 in the grocery store. But if you go to a convenience store, there you're going to have to pay 79 cents for just one can of Mountain Dew. 79 cents, that's a whole lot more. Then if you go to the airport, where you're stuck with no other options, you're going to have to pay $2.50 for that one can of Mountain Dew. It's the same drink, the exact same drink. You say, well, how come they charge so much there and not in the grocery store? Because they've only got a few, and you don't have a choice. But listen, you know why the price goes up on something when there's less of it? It becomes precious. Everybody's got blood, but it's got sin in it. Man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, red, yellow, brown, green, blue, everybody has got Adam's blood in them. And it's all got sin. And one day, a man showed up on this earth that didn't have Adam's blood. He had God's blood. It was sinless blood, perfect blood, pure blood. How precious, how rare, how valuable is the only sin-cleansing blood in the universe? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Psalm 49, verse number 5. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. I'll tell you what else is precious. Redemption. Redemption. When that rich man died and woke up in hell, all of his riches could not redeem his soul. Amen. I'll tell you, your soul is precious. The redemption of your soul is precious. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, God says you're a loser. The devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. And all he wanted was Jesus' soul in exchange. And Jesus says, hey man, that's a bad deal. It's not worth it. Why would I take all the glory of all the kingdoms of this world and lose my soul? I'm not going to do it. And I'll tell you, if you're here today and you've got a brother who's not saved, he doesn't need a birthday card or a birthday present or a birthday package or a birthday email. He needs the gospel. He needs the gospel. You've got a sister who's not saved. She doesn't need a fruit basket. She doesn't need something under her Christmas tree. She needs the gospel. You got a cousin. You've got a relative. You've got a mom. You've got a dad. You've got a son. You've got a daughter who doesn't know Jesus. They don't need a new necktie. They don't need a meal ticket. They don't need a gift card. They need Jesus. One day, they're going to die. They're going to leave this world, and all they're going to do is, you're going to give those neckties to the poor or something. Amen. You're going to say, at that time, you're going to regret it. You're going to say, man, I wish I'd have told them about the Lord. I wish I'd have been a little bit bolder. I wish I would have been a little bit more straightforward. I wish I would have risked hurting their feelings. I wish I would have gone ahead and took a chance of upsetting them a little bit. Hey, I don't want to upset my kinfolk. I don't want my kinfolk to be mad at me, but I don't want them in hell for eternity cursing me because I bought them trinkets and didn't give them the gospel. Redemption is precious, man. Precious. This psalm says you might be rich, but your brother's going to die. And when he dies, it won't matter how much money you have in the bank. It won't be enough to redeem his soul. He that has the most money doesn't win. He that dies with Jesus wins. The redemption of our soul is a precious thing. Praise the Lord. You know, when you go out witnessing or street preaching in certain areas of certain cities, there's a lot that you're going to see that you can preach against. You might find drug addicts living in the parks, drunks coming out of bars, women selling their services on the corner. There's a lot messed up with those lives, yeah. There's a lot to preach against when it comes to the way people have chosen to live their lives. But you know, when those fellas step out of those limousines with those hired women and they walk down those sidewalks, going into those clubs, and then they snort more money up their nose than you'll make in a month. And they say they're having a big time. And you try to offer them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll make fun of you. And then they'll ridicule you. And then they'll completely disregard you. Let me tell you something, man. If those people die tonight, they're going to wake up in hell. I don't envy them a bit. I'm not jealous of them. And here comes this fella around the corner. He smells. He's dirty. He's got no home. He's got no future. He's pretty much ruined and wasted his whole life. And he stops and he talks to you. He says, "Man, I know I ain't doing right. I know I haven't ever done right, but I'm telling you right now that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the only friend I've got in this whole world." And you talk to that man, you give him the gospel, and the best you can tell, that man has trusted the Lord as his Savior. I'm sorry he's ruined his life, but I'll tell you right now, he's got something more valuable than those rich penthouse dwellers. He's got something more valuable than those guys in the limousines with the diamond rings and the girlfriends in fur coats. You know, he's got something more valuable than those guys that look down their nose at everyone else because they're the ones with the money. He's got his soul. And when they pick up his body out of that park and they haul it down and put it in an unmarked pauper's grave, he'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And when they have the big state funeral for the fellow that didn't think he needed Jesus, he'll be in a very different place. I'm telling you, well, I'm not telling you that it's better to be a bum, okay, to be a homeless person. You don't have to be a homeless person to be saved. And I'm not saying that you're going to lose your soul if you become rich, okay? But I'll tell you this. If you think you're going to heaven first class because you've got money, or maybe on the other side you think you're going to have to sneak in the back door of heaven because you don't have money, you don't understand that redemption is what's precious. It's not what's in your wallet that's precious. Redemption is precious, not what's in your bank account. Redemption, it's a precious thing. And there's only one place to get it, and only one way to get it. But it'll last you forever. All right, let's go into Proverbs chapter 6 in your Bible. Proverbs chapter number 6. Some of you young people just starting out, I'm a little bit jealous of you. I wish I was 18 again. You say, well, I wouldn't want to go back and be 18 again. I would tomorrow. I like life. I like living. I like sunrises. I like trees. I like skies. Amen. I like going to church. I like talking to my friends. I like my family. I like laughing. I like seeing God doing things. I don't hate life. You say, well, don't you want to go to heaven? Sure, I want to go to heaven. But if I don't go tomorrow, then I'll have a good time tomorrow. If I don't go Sunday, I'll have a good time Sunday. If I go to heaven Monday, praise the Lord. If I don't, praise the Lord. Christians say, oh, you know, this life, the best we can do is just try and get through it. Really? Really? Is that what you think the Lord wants you to do with your life? Saved, born again, got Jesus, you're part of the body of Christ, you got family, got friends, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got eternal life, you've got God's beautiful creation, and all you're doing is just trying to get through it. Come on now. Come on. Let's look at this. Proverbs 6, verse 26 says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for, look, the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The precious life. I mean, come on, brother. You've got one life on this earth, and it's passing by like a vapor. You've got one life on this earth, and it's fleeing so fast you can't believe it. Better live that life. Live that life. Quit sitting around moping and complaining and fearing and regretting. Get up, do something for God. Get up, make a friend. Get up, have a good time. Get up, enjoy God's creation. Come on. You've only got one life. It's going to be over so fast, so fast. I'm telling you, man, I can't hardly believe I've been in Kuwait 21 years. Seems like just yesterday, really. I mean this. Seems like just yesterday I was boarding that plane to come to the Middle East for the first time. Seems like just yesterday I was getting to know my Kuwait co-workers and started learning a little bit about their customs. Seems like just yesterday that I met my wife-to-be and then took her home to meet my family. But that was 20 years ago. 20 years. Just like that. People come into church, they've got little babies. I mean, was it not 2 days ago that Joshua was a little baby? How can that be? It's impossible. It's just flying by. This life is flying by. Live it. Live your life. Unplug the box. Unplug the computer. Realize you don't have to read your email. You don't have to read your email. You don't have to answer it. You don't have to check your Facebook on a daily basis. Live, breathe, talk to people, do something, enjoy life. It's precious, man. You only get one of them. You only get one of them. There's a bumper sticker that says, "Life is not a dress rehearsal." That's pretty good, if you think about it. This is it. This is the real thing, man. You're on the stage right now. The lights are on right now. The clock is running right now. Your life is precious. You got one August 29th, 2014. And then it's going to be over. You're going to turn that page, take it off, throw it in the garbage can. And then it's going to be tomorrow. And then you're going to flip the page and it's not going to be August anymore. It's going to be September. And then boom, next thing you know, it's the next year. It's 2015. It's moving out. So come on, let's do something. Let's have a good time. Let's accomplish something for Jesus. Life is precious. It's not something you just get through. It's not something you just endure. It's not something you just drag along hoping God comes. God has come. Yeah, I'm going to go to heaven, but the Lord is here. He's in us. Are you saved? Well, you know, one day I'm going to go up to be with Jesus. Hello? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, one day, you know, we're going to be in a place where we can just praise the Lord. You can't now? Life is precious. Let's live that thing. Let's do something with this life we have. Amen. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. You say, well, do you have any ideas? Got any suggestions? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Psalm 126. Psalm 126 and verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what the Lord said? That seed is precious. There's only one thing that you can take out into that world that will do those people any good. And that's the good seed of the gospel, the word of God. And the Lord said, if you will go, it will accomplish something. That's what he said. He said, if you go, verse 6, he that goeth forth, verse 6, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you preach the gospel, somebody is going to get saved. If you give out the gospel, somebody's going to get saved. If you stand for Jesus, somebody's going to get saved. Now look at this. Who rejoices in this passage? Who rejoices? The people that go. That's what it says. Man, some of you are thinking, man, there he goes again, always trying to talk me into going out and doing all this Jesus stuff. And I just don't see why. Okay. You can stay home and have a bad attitude about people asking you to go, or you can come back rejoicing because God blessed your heart and you had such a good time. You've got one life. You've got one shot at this thing. You ought to do what you can for Jesus. You ought to live for Jesus and enjoy Jesus and live with Jesus, with his people, and stand up for Jesus' crowd and enjoy this thing. come in rejoicing, says. You know, it's not like, oh, all right, I guess it's time for church. Get your stuff. We're going to church. Man, get in on it. Get in on it. Participate. Give yourself to Jesus. Get wrapped up in Jesus. You ought to enjoy life the best you can. Psalm 116. And this is an odd verse. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, there aren't many things in these verses that we've looked at from God's viewpoint. Okay, but the Lord is looking forward to the day when you join him in a place where there's nothing left for you to pray about. The Lord is looking forward to a day when you join him in a place where there's no supplication to be asked for. There's no intercession that needs to be made. When you reach that place where all your troubles and trials and burdens are over, that is a precious thing to God. But in addition to that, now listen, you only get one chance to live this life. And you only get one chance to leave this life. Man, I want to leave right. I want to leave right. Look, I don't know if this is my last day on earth, but if it is, I do not want you to have to whisper about how I died drunk. I do not want you to come to my home and gather up my stuff and find a bunch of drug paraphernalia and a bunch of sin hidden in my closet. I want to go out in a way that is precious to Almighty God. Amen. I'm only going to go once. You know what has thrilled your souls and mine too? Reading these biographies of these men and women who did live for Jesus all the way home, who stood for Jesus all the way to the finish line. Man, I want to go out God's way. I don't want to go out murmuring and complaining and griping and in broken fellowships and with bad attitudes and nothing to show for my life but a few dollars here and a name on a tombstone. Man, I want to go out God's way. I want to go out Jesus' way. It's a blessed thing to walk through that doorway with a smile on your face and confidence in your soul and say to this world and say to your loved ones and say to your friends, I'm going to be with Jesus. It's been worth every mile of this trip. It's been worth every journey. I'm glad that I took this path. I'm glad that I walked the narrow way. I'm glad that I know the Lord is my Savior. Come on, go with me to heaven. Man, I've got relatives, and so do you, that are saved because of the way somebody that was saved left this world. I've got friends and loved ones who are saved not because of how somebody lived, but because of how somebody stepped from this life into the next. And they saw the confidence, and they saw the certainty, and they saw the joy, and they saw the peace, and they saw the trust. And they knew in their soul that they didn't have what that dying Christian had. Man, it's a precious thing to live God's way. It's a precious thing to die God's way. It's a precious thing to be in Christ and be redeemed and be washed in the precious blood and know it and be confident of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think of some of the church members that we've lost. Brother Bernie Lawrence, running straight into the face of danger at the refinery, trying to save some lives right before it blew up and took his life. Why didn't he run away from the danger instead of into it? Because he knew he was saved, and he knew he was going to heaven, and he knew if anything happened, he'd be in the presence of the Lord, his Savior. And then his wife, Sister Veronica, followed him about a year later. And she suffered quite a bit with her ailment and spent a lot of time going to the hospital. But I never heard a note of worry in her voice. And I could tell she was ready to go, because she knew she'd made the right choice in life. She knew it was the best thing she ever did to trust Jesus. Brother Easy left Kuwait. A few years later, he passed on into eternity. What a joy. What a joy to know that he left this world with confidence. And his wife, Lynn, can continue to live her life with joy, knowing that her beloved husband is with Jesus. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Are you enjoying life? Are you enjoying serving Jesus? Are you enjoying getting out that precious seed? Are you enjoying that redemption that you have? Are you enjoying this Word of God? You've got some precious things in this world. And none of these things have to do with the size of your house or the style of your car or the clothes in your closet or the money in your bank. They're all spiritual things. Did you notice that? There's not one precious thing listed in reference to God's people that is a material thing. It's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. What have you got? What have you got? Popularity, fame, fortune, stuff? Or do you have precious things? The Word of God is precious. Jesus, the chief cornerstone, is precious. His blood is precious. His redemption is precious. The seed that we sow is precious. The life that we live is precious. Our home going is precious. Come on, you've got 1 August 29th, 2014. Make it count. You're going to have 1 August 30th, 2014. Make it count. You're going to have 1 August 31st, 2014. Make that one count. You're going to have one life. Make it count. You're going to have one home going. Make it count. You're going to have one opportunity to serve the Lord. Make it count. You're going to have one opportunity to use your life for Jesus. Make it count. I'll tell you, this world, it's all designed to inflate the value of things that have no value and deflate the value of things that have real value. Come on, what you've got that's worth having is spiritual. And the rest of that stuff, it's a hindrance at worst and a distraction at best. Let's get wrapped up in what's precious, of great value, of great worth, rare but precious. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these precious things that you have given to us to have in our lives. Help us, Lord, to make this life count, to take those precious things and to pass them on to others so that they may know of these precious things and have eternal life. Lord, let us not waste our days and watch the days just fly by and disappear like a vapor, and then we've got nothing to show for it. Help us, Lord, to be able to look back and say that we lived the life that a Christian ought to live. Help us, Lord, to be prepared to go out of this world and meet you face to face, and to bring some with us as they see us die in confidence, knowing that we're going to see our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.